Welcome to Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad, a podcast dedicated to amplifying and elevating Afro-Latinx histories, cultures, and communities across the Americas and beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Reed Vasquez. Join us for conversations with experts and artists to learn more about Afro-Latinidad. Venga. Our guest today is Nadia Calment. She is a professional Peruvian dancer, actress, folk choreographer, and specialist in Afro-Peruvian culture. She has over 25 years of experience participating in cultural exchanges with organizations in more than 30 countries as a cultural representative of Peru. Nadia has a bachelor's degree in Peruvian tourism and hospitality with specializations in public policies for vulnerable populations and child development. She also has a degree in art therapy, intercultural education, and community arts from California State University, Los Angeles. She is the main initiator of Afro-Peruvian Cultural Day in Los Angeles, founder and artistic director of the LA Performing Arts Company, The Afro-Peruvian Experience, and author of a bilingual children's book entitled Cajon, Cajita, y Quijada, or translated as The Big Box, The Little Box, and The Jaw Instruments. Nadia, welcome to the Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. Very nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you too. So I know you were born in Lima, Peru, and that you were very connected to your family history, but that you moved to the U.S. in 2017. So tell us a little bit about how you became interested in dance and Afro-Peruvian dance and how that has kind of evolved for you.
Oh, wow. that started when I feel like when I realized that I was a voice representing Afro-Peruvian, and that voice, you know, has a political value and power. So I commit myself to share that message of resistance and cultural resilience that I received from my ancestors in Peru. And yes, yeah, I took this very serious. And since then, I have non-stop cultivating myself, researching and learning from their ancestor wisdom that also connects deeply with the expression of the African diaspora around the world. And in that point, this is one of my love in life, diaspora connections, and how to being able to feel in home, at home, when I and other different cultures sharing the African connections.
That's wonderful. I really love the part about the seeing, I can just know what people can't see you, but the passion that you exude when you talk about it, it's just mesmerizing. And I'm curious about, well, more about your family and the issue, the resistance that you talk about. Can you give us an example of that?
Yes. Come on. My grandma was a Black woman who doesn't have a high education. She just went to school until third grade. She only know how to sign in a paper her name, that's all. But she is the person that I received the most important examples in life. I have in my mind all the wisdom. Just her entire life was like a work of art. She understood life in a big, big way. And before, for example, I start to read about Nelson Mandela, my grandma was the first person who told me, you have to fight for be free. And the way to do that is by educating yourself. You have to be an educated woman and economically independent. That's why she said to me at a very young age, and I start my journey. And like her, I have, you know, a lot of my entire life is I pass around Afro-Peruvian community. And I can see the same examples of resilience and other families in my community. Mm-hmm. Everything plus music and dance and singing, people singing around, celebrating life, people doing from scratch, doing stuff from scratch. So I can see the same value and that knowledge that I received in my college. So I put that together and I start to celebrate that resilience from my grandma. My grandma was a woman washing clothes for other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's ella lavaba ropa.
Era sí, la bandera. Sí, exactamente. Mm-hmm.
Era la bandera in order to raise her 10 kids.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like all that I received from her, I am playing now with my students at the classroom.
That's beautiful. I love that bridge between the family, that deep family ancestral knowledge and values to the contemporary. And also, of course, having the foresight, to the vision of what you can do with that additional education and building on the family. So that's wonderful. So beautiful. From that example, from growing up, I'm wondering also if there are other kind of defining moments in your journey. I know you talked about going to school, going to college and all of that, but are there moments in there where you really felt like the Afro-Peruvian experience, that is really, that's the path that I need to take?
I think the first turning point was when I decided to dedicate myself to an artistic life. That was the first. Because, 30 years ago, it was considered very, very bad to choose to be a dancer as a career path, right? But my heart beat harder every single time that I went to the stage. Mm-hmm. So today, I have to be very honest, today I am deeply, deeply grateful to my courage, to my bravery, my discipline, and of course my mother for not letting me go of my hand. Mm-hmm. Even with everything against me to make just to transform my passion from my talent into a professional career. So I feel so proud of that. Of that Nadia, of
yes.
That little one. And I
yes.
feel like the second moment was when I understood that art has a political responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that it's also a powerful tool to transform the world and build a better society. Today, art and motherhood are for me a tool to leave the world better than I found it. So that's why I know, and I say every single time that I have the opportunity to say it, this is my mission in life. This is why God put me here in this moment, in this part of life. I finally found my purpose, my mission. That's why I put all my love, my existence as a human being in the arts.
That is beautiful. I want to dig a little deeper because given these moments that you describe, where's a particular event within one of those where that just kind of catapulted you? You mentioned, for example, that you remarked about the courage that you had to embark on this path. Was there a particular dance event or encounter that really kind of helped you see the possibilities for this path?
Being a woman of color in a position of being a leader is not easy. It's not easy. So since the first point, I received a negative position from my family, from my close family. They never wanted to have an artist into the family because they also was experienced esto que le llamamos blanqueamiento cultural,
Whitening,
whiteness, whitening, in order to be accepted in the society. So at the beginning was they refused to have, especially because I am the first nieta.
The
¿Cómo se dice
grandchild.
nieta? The grandchild, the very first. And I was this, I had this mind. I'm very, passionate and commitment and discipline and all of this. So when they was looking at me, they put their, I feel like they put the dreams on me to be a lawyer or a doctor
Of
or
course.
whatever, no. So that's why I say I am very proud of myself, no, for the courage and bravery. And I still dealing with that, even here. Like, took me a couple of minutes to people understand that, no, I am the leader of this company. And yes, I am Latina. This is my accent, and I don't feel shy anymore about that. This is my complexity, and I'm very proud of be who I am. And at the beginning was hard, but now I feel like I'm navigating a little bit better because I also realize that now I am a different person. The Nadia who just arrived, then the Nadia who is here 7 years after passing the immigration process, after leading with the COVID, after leading with George Floyd episode, the terrible episode over here, after all the issues, I feel like I continue the path of resistance that my ancestor gave to me. I'm resistant, but not in the victimization point of view. I'm resistant from making my life as a work of art. So that is how I feel I'm carrying the legacy,
You mentioned, well, I'll just say I know from talking with you earlier that in terms of Afro-Latinidad that you're passionate about, obviously dancing. You mentioned motherhood earlier in this conversation. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about this evolution of your work, of the dance and Afro-Latinidad, how that translates into working with children and motherhood. If you could share a little bit of that with us.
I feel like I one of the my passion is to the artistic creation. This process, I love it. And also the stage and the classroom with my students. I feel like I develop myself in a spiritual way when I'm on the stage or in a classroom. So I feel like my soul is like rises, and expands in those areas.
Is
So
there No, go ahead.
I really just enjoy the transformation of my students. I can see and I feel the moment when I expose them to a difficult topics like, for example, racism and discrimination, and then how they apply what they have learned with me in their personal life. And then learn and unlearn from social stereotypes. So that transformation process made me so happy for real. I feel that, trust me, I feel so much alive when I expose my students to that, because art have that power. I can, by using art, I have better results that when I have, an historical class talking about anthropology or history or, these kind of heavy topics. But using art is like I can melt everything and they feel it. Una vez que ellos sienten, at the time that they feel, they can start working in their own issues. So that's it, like magic. And I feel, yeah, that's what my master say. Nadie entiende algo que no ha sentido. If you don't feel it, you cannot be part of the change. So
Well,
that.
you make me want to take your class or to be a part of some of the dance activities. Yeah, it sounds wonderful. And it's certainly that ability for the arts and the creativity to transcend and help people understand, like you said, these really difficult but persistent problems in the world. I also want to talk to you a little bit about your work and how it helps us understand Afro-Latin American or kind of Afro-Latinx communities more broadly. How do you use dance to help those who don't know much about Afro-Peruvian music and culture? How do you use dance to do that?
Yes,
Help.
by
No, tell me, and I guess I could just in terms of understanding the his those histories, issues, politics, how do you use dance to help translate that?
just being and keeping my cultural life, just by being and say, hey, here we are. Esta soy yo con este complejo, con toda esta complejidad. And I feel like be a voice rigorously aware of what I represent. Those of us who are here and now have the privilege of freedom. So 200 years ago, we will have been killed for the same things that I do today. And I'm very aware of that. So being aware of this, by feeling that I have a moral responsibility to represent my culture with dignity. So from the moment that I wake up until the moment that I go to bed, I feel that responsibility. And it is an example that I give to my son, to Facundo, to my kids. Because if I wanted to change this world in a better place, we have to start with our home, with ourselves, right? But in the same time, this is the same example that I wanted to share with my students. And of course, when I'm on the stage, I have the same purpose. And right now, talking with you, I have the same responsibility. I know that I'm talking for those who don't have the privilege that I.
So important to remember, to acknowledge. And I guess even kind of pushing up into that, what do you think are some of the most urgent issues for Afro-Latinx communities today, especially as they relate to the work that you do in the creative realm?
There is a lot. There is a lot. But I mean, I still feel that some communities see us like the others. You know what I mean? Los
I do.
otros. Yeah. And in some cases, they even see us only as a, I don't know, like a museum piece, you know, or an object of study, something like that. But I don't feel that there are substantive and strong public policies where being different is a strain. Maybe in some areas of California, you know, this issue is taking a little bit more into account. But I don't feel the same in the rest of the country. And I've been traveling a lot. So I feel like people have to understand that diversity of African diaspora is a valuable and significant. As it is complex, we have to understand it from different point of view, and at the same time understand that we have and are connected since the beginning of the humanity. So instead of just being in what point we are different. I feel like we have to understand and start by saying in what point you and me are the same. In which point you and me are the same. Mi maestro, one of my teachers in Peru, used to say, recuerden que todos vinimos en el mismo barco. That's mean, let me translate.
Okay.
Remember that all of us are coming from the same boat, where Africa is the motherland. Yeah?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Completely. Completely. And so those issues are going to be impactful across the diaspora, the policies that need to be in place to enforce the freedoms, the rights, all those pieces, opportunity, access to opportunities, all those pieces. That's how I'm reading your commentary, that it's because the diaspora is so connected in so many different ways and so many different layers, and that those issues will be similar, distinct, but similar, distinct context, but similar in their necessity to be dealt with as well. So I always have 1,000 questions, but we're running up on the end of our, for my last question, which is what I'd like to use to ask so that people can learn more about what you do. And so I wonder if you have, so what we'll do is we'll put on our website links to your website and information, but also I'm wondering if you have any additional resources, specific resources you would like to recommend to people who are interested in learning more about this topic, about Afro-Peruvian dance or African diaspora dance more broadly. Now is the time to share, whether it's books or films or lo que sea.
Gracias. Well, there is a lot of information. Now we are living in the age of information, which is good and bad in some point. But anyways, but you know, as you know, today young people have the advantage of having the information in their fingertips. It's incredible. But you know, they are, I feel like the least interest generation. I feel like that. I have to push my students in order to, come on, read a book.
I know.
Let's read one page, but not just read, but just please understand, feel the connection. So I don't know. They are, let's say, they spend more time in just vanity stuff like reggaeton or stuff like that. And I, you know, as a teachers, as an educators, it's hard now. The classroom is not the same like 20 years ago. No. You have to be an entertainment person. You have to be actors and be very like performing person in order to capture the attention of the students. Anyways. But in addition to reading and studying, I feel like studying is a strictly personal job, since it implies a personal need to get to know others, to get to know others. I would recommend, I don't know, maybe learning a new language.
Okay. You go to the big pieces where you can connect with a whole other cultural space with different languages.
Yes. Yes. I'm experienced now into myself. After 40 years talking in Spanish, I have 2 years starting a new chapter in my life by speaking in English right now. I hope, please, I can... You understand me, because it's a hard thing to start from scratch in a new language. But that I feel like I'm growing up.
Yes, absolutely.
And open many doors. Right now I can, you know, talk with more people.
Exactly.
2 years ago I was like, okay, this is my circle of people, and I was comfort there. I was very comfort as a, you know, as an actor, as a dancer, as a people who have a microphone in front, I feel like my voice is my power. But what happened when they took away your voice and you have to start over with a totally different language? Oh my God, I feel like I lost my power. But now, if
Now,
and I know,
clearly.
yes, you get out of your zone, of your comfort zone, that make you open your to understand others' point of view, other people, other ways to communicate, to express. My students in the, you know, in a community, and they, I will say, my students in the, for example, Mexican communities are totally different. Mexican Americans, for example, are totally different than my students from, I don't know, UCLA. Totally different. And my people in Latin America is totally different. They have different formas de pensar. They have different way to live their life. But I feel like it's have to take you have to take the moment to be open to understand all of this way to live. And I would recommend also traveling.
Traveling, yes.
Traveling, visiting new cities, please, understanding that other ways of living are possible. And that in absolutely all of them, there is learning and a love. A lot of wisdom. If you have your sense open, you will probably experience a new world to you. I will invite you to live the culture of Afro-Latinos community. Es mucha sabiduría. We have a lot of to offer. We are also creators of arts. So I was in Cuba 2 weeks ago. You know, Cuba
I
is
do.
one of the most beautiful islands in the world, but also very poor. But even in that situation, they are still creating arts.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They are like a, son una fábrica de arte. How do you say
Sí,
that?
me encanta Fabra de Arte. Sí. So, yeah. Well, if for those of you who don't know, it's a combination of art, exhibition space, performance space, restaurant. It's really one of the most incredible spaces I've ever been to, artistically speaking. Yeah.
Incredible. So I will invite people to live the culture of Afro-Latino community in order to learn more about other ways of living.
I love that. I love that. You're going because we often people will mention books or websites, and I just love that you've mentioned learn some learn a new language, travel, open yourself up to learning more about these communities. I mean, I think that kind of lived experience is also an incredible resource, and I appreciate you reminding us that that is important to do as well.
And I have a lot of students that they don't want to travel. They say, no, I'm fine over here. No, I'm fine. They don't even have passport. Come on. This is a reality, my friend. And it's because they was raising as a way to, you know, the privilege of being from United States. So I'm leaving. That is the kind of answer that I receive in my classrooms. Like, no, I don't need to travel. I'm fine right here. What? I feel like, what? Come on. The world is bigger than you believe. Even my little ones. I start my class. I don't care. I start my class by asking. Because, you know, when I arrive to my class the first day, they look at me like, oh, she looks like African American or something. But when I start to talk, they put their faces like, I don't understand you. Like, and I say, where are you from? And immediately, where are you from? And I say, oh, I'm from Peru. You know, do you know where is Peru? No, the answer is no. It's next to Mexico, they answered. But not just the little ones, also adults. That's incredible, but it's true. I have to put my country in the map. And at the beginning, I felt frustrated. But now I feel like, no, this is my superpower. I'm different. I'm Latina, but also I'm Peruvian. I'm Afro-Peruvian. And I am a woman of color. And at the same time, I'm all of this, you
all
know,
the like, things.
All the things that you are seeing right now. Yes. And in all of this aspect is a value. I start from there. And that open up is like a pop-up. Because they realize, oh, she's proud of their weird. I don't know. She's weird and she's proud of that, you
right.
know?
Right, right.
And I say, yes. Yes. Because that makes you different. That makes you unique. And especially because you are receiving a cultural heritage for free. What are you doing with that? Don't be shy of what you receive. Your ancestors are giving you the most special thing that they have. You have the option of make that as a trash or make that as a treasure. You have the option. I took the option of put that as a treasure. And this is the treasure that I want to share with you.
I love that. Thank you so much. I wish we could talk on and on and on. I'll close it out now and just say thank you so much for sharing your story, your journey, your path. I mean, just oozing with passion, and the importance of all the important pieces that you're sharing about connecting with the culture, connecting with the African diaspora, connecting with Afro Latinos. Thank you so much, and I look forward to all the things coming from you from out in California and beyond.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for making these spaces. This is a need conversation. People have to understand the diversity of the world. And this is a beautiful spot. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe and hear more episodes of Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And go to michellereedvasquez.com to check out our episode resources and learn more about the Afro-Latinidad Studies Institute.